the cities, counties, and states of America certainly could have an impact. If a significant number of such governments follow our lead, corporations that don't meet our criteria will start to find that it's harder for them to raise capital. If that happened, those corporations would have to think about changing their behavior. Under the new policy, we would examine corporations that meet our stringent financial criteria for investment to see how they fare on certain other criteria. We would take note of abusive labor practices. We would ask if the company has concluded activities that are damaging to human health and the environment. And on a separate but related note, I'd like to say I'm against the Pembina terminal. I think if we ship all our fuel to burn in Asia, we're not really doing much benefit with these measures. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you all. Okay, next, please.
Are Samuel Motz, Ranfis Villatoro, and Peter Cervantes Gotshi.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Ranfis Villatoro, and I'm the development director with BOS. We're here today to support both resolutions and as well as the amendment that we recommended. I think our support for both resolutions, I think, as well as many of the supporters who came out with us today, is the inherent belief that we all, at the end of the day, want vibrant and healthy communities. At times, I think we might have different visions of what that might be, but I think we ultimately believe that we want communities that, you know, our sons and daughters can grow up and that is, you know, healthy for everyone to succeed in life. And so with these two resolutions, we believe, you know, that the city has a responsibility, a moral responsibility to understand the impact of our investments, as well as balancing the return on investments to be able to support our services and programs for our community members. When it comes to, the resolution and the amendment, you know, we believe that it's very important to have that it be reflective of the diversity of our community, such as people, communities of color and low-income families, who I believe historically have been disproportionately affected by, unscrupulous companies, whether it's the impact of environment or health, as well as labor practices. We also believe, you know, that just inherently it's good to have the active participation of the community when possible to be able to give a recommendation to the city. I think we understand the valid concerns for such a committee, but I believe when you look at communities of color and the low-income community that are definitely impacted by such unscrupulous corporations, I think at the end of the day, we ultimately want, well, when we see the vision of vibrant communities, is access to work. Historically, when we look at how communities of color have utilized, you know, this social responsibility, investing, it's typically been in the form of a boycott. I think, for example, the Montgomery bus boycotts is a really good example where, the civil rights movement, they took this boycott not as a form of self-destructive way of, you know, destroying the community, but really as a constructive way to improve the community, where it's not to get rid of the bus, you know, company, but it really is to improve the conditions to move forward for healthy and vibrant communities. So I support this resolution because I believe at the end of the day, communities will want to find pragmatic solutions that still will promote the growth of their communities. I'll leave it there. Thank you
very much. Thanks for your advocacy. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Peter Cervantes Gauci from Enlace. We appreciate all the work that's gone into this. We certainly appreciate Commissioner Novick's championing this important resolution, and we also appreciate the amendment that you all added. However, we believe very strongly that it is important to add to the principles with respect to corporate responsibility. The city of Portland next year, 4,000 people of color will be arrested and taken to Tacoma and put in a private prison run by the GEO Group, which has at a facility that's had a number of very long hunger strikes due to the very brutal conditions there. GEO is one of the two corporations that control over 80% of the private prison market in the United States. These people will be taken there because they committed an offense that was no more harmful to the community than the offense that Rosa Parks committed when she sat down on a bus some years ago. And that industry is rampant with sexual abuse, with wrongful deaths, with child abuse, with lack of access to medical care, and they have a monopoly on the private prison system and the incarceration of immigrants in the United States right now. As the principles, we're looking at the principles that you have on the resolution, we don't see where private prisons fit in. But certainly the council would, I would hope, be open to considering the fact that there is a disproportionate abuse of communities of color in Portland by some rogue corporations, and certainly the private prison industry fits that criteria. I don't know, rampant sexual abuse, wrongful deaths, and so forth. I don't know where that fits into the language. But certainly, this is an industry that exists solely for the purpose of incarcerating people of color. So we would request that you consider adding a principle that measures the impact, a negative impact of corporate abuse on communities of color in Portland. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Good morning.
Morning. It's really cold in here. So I'm Samuel Matz. Matz like rug. People need to remember how to pronounce it, and I'm here talking about that addition as well. And I think it's really important to recognize that as a council that's been overwhelmed, I think over 95% white over the last 100 years, it's really important for you all to realize that when people of color say diversity, we're talking about diversity of perspectives, and we're also talking about diversity of background. So we're talking about people who are disproportionately harmed by problems, needing to have voice because they presently don't have voice. What we're talking about when we're talking about adding that as a criteria is we're saying that if you want to be ethically consistent with the statements that you're saying, then you can't be single issue, as one of the commissioners said during this discussion. You have to look at it broadly. You have to look at it intersectionally. You have to say, if there's a company that looks really cool but has significant and consistent disproportionate harms on people of color, then is it a company that's ethical? And my answer would be no. And according to the criteria, it sounds like the answer would be no. But the problem with a colorblind criteria, which is what it is right now without the suggested amendment, is that a colorblind criteria is going to replicate the oppressions that already exist in the system. If you don't recognize and name the problems in companies, and if you don't recognize and name specific ways that they harm people, especially communities of color, then that's going to slide, because that's what happens in history. That's what happens. So we really urge you to do this, to be consistent with the stated values that you've said, to actually help vibrant communities, including communities of color, and to basically like not look like hypocrites. We think that's really important.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Okay. The next three are Stephanie Patrick, Yolanda Sandoval, and Marion Haynes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Stephanie Patricio, by the way.
Okay. Go ahead, Stephanie.
I'll go first if you want.
Sure, if you'd like.
Great. Good morning. Thank you for your time. My name is Stephanie Patricio. I'm here today as an organizer with SEIU Local 49. As someone who works day in and day out with low-wage immigrant and workers of color, I see the impact of those same workers not having a voice at the work site or in other important decision-making processes in their lives. I think the proposal to include voices of low-wage workers and people of color would be a step in the right direction toward starting to be a socially responsible city. I would further urge City Council to include the language and criteria to take a look at the impact that companies disproportionately have on communities of color and low-wage workers. We know that for any advisory committee to truly have effect, they need to reach beyond simply including voices of color at the table and be critical of the impact said companies have on our communities. Portland has started to take strides towards inclusivity. It can continue to do work that truly impacts communities of color and low-wage workers through this language. Personally, I would also like to include or ask that, just say that I think the time is now. I think I'm taking a look at the things that are going on in the world, and I'm seeing how by not being critical of the companies that we allow into the city, it funnels out and has an effect on communities of color. And I think that the city, I'm asking the city to really take a look at those policies, the way that they impact my communities. We're tired of having our communities torn apart, being held in detention centers, and we see that the city has the power to truly change that. So I'm urging city council to take a look at that and take that seriously.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Yolanda Sandoval. I am the internal organizer for VOS. I actually am here because I want the language that VOS and Enlace has submitted to be included, and also to, just like my friend here said, to take it very seriously. And I am actually going to be talking not only because of VOS, but also with the families and the other communities that I'm involved with, churches, people that I'm always around with. And they actually are being very, very impacted. And by including this piece of language, it's going to actually open revenues to also target other people that to not be in the do not buy list. And it's actually really, really, really important because not only the detention centers, but also in prisons, and I mean all that, it's actually targeting minority people, and not only minority, but also people of color with wage, low wage. I lost my word, sorry. But low wage workers, and I actually would like for the low wage workers and also the people who are being affected to be involved. That said, please take it in consideration, and please let the community also have a say.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Just so both of you know, I don't yet have somebody in mind for whether for my appointment to the committee. So if you or somebody that you know would be willing to serve, I'd be very glad to hear from you.
That would be very nice. The saying that I like to go by a lot is to also not make decisions with other people who are being affected, but also being inclusive of the people who are being affected. And there are many testimonies of people who are being affected.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor Hales, members of council, my name is Marion Haynes. I'm with the Portland Business Alliance.
There you go.
Sorry about that. The Alliance does have some concerns with the resolution before you today, including creating the permanent committee. The city has a limited ability to invest in corporate securities. These investments do generally have a higher rate of return than the alternative, and limiting that scope could potentially have an impact. While applying a value screen, assuming all other things being equal and assuming a minimal financial impact is not objectionable on its face, we do have concerns about creating a do not buy list that names individual companies. It's unclear how the criteria will be applied. It will necessarily be a fairly subjective exercise. You know, what criteria will have greater weight, what determines extreme tax avoidance, what determines market dominance if there is no violation of federal antitrust laws. We're not talking about specific laws have been broken. It really is quite a subjective determination. Second, the creation of the committee that will be publicly judging these companies may have a deleterious impact on the city's business climate. There's no reason to believe any company operating here will be added to the list, but creating the public discussion about the worthiness and the trade-offs of a company is could be detrimental. Many of the companies eligible for investment are located in the city of Portland. They pay taxes in the city of Portland. They invest in the city of Portland. They employ thousands of people in the city of Portland. Some of them are even headquartered in Portland. And setting up a process by which they will be judged, even if not ultimately added to the list, is not a particularly welcoming environment.
Marion, may I just ask, are you suggesting that public officials should never publicly criticize any aspect of a corporation's behavior?
No, I'm not. I haven't said that at all. I'm saying creating a committee which will judge, and it's been said that there's no one criteria that will outweigh. I mean, a company may be very good in one area, have issues in another, but creating that sort of public conversation by which companies are judged, I think, and then put specifically on a do not buy list is not very welcoming for companies, especially those that are, as I said, investing and employing people here. Is that not to say that there shouldn't be a social screen applied to some investments? No. And we've never said that. Is it quite a different thing to say we're going to choose to divest in fossil fuel companies rather than naming companies to a specific do not buy list? I think that's a very different thing. So given the potential impact and some of the subjectivity, we're unclear about how this will all play out. We urge caution and pause in deciding how to move forward with this.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Okay, others?
Yes, the last two who signed up are Rosa Navarro and Jamie Trinkle.
Are they still here? Yes, come on up, please. You can come on up, even if you didn't sign up, that's fine.
I did sign up.
Okay. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. My name is Melissa Seeson. I'm not sure if you can hear me. I'm here to speak out on the issues at hand. It's great to fund these businesses, but you have to look at the overall successes of these businesses. And also these little committees that they put together have to have real in-depth research before they speak on the subject and the topic, before they even decide and make decisions. So that would need to be discussed with them and talked with them and spoken to see exactly what they plan to do. Because there shouldn't be an overall, like you said, it fluctuates, the rules, or they change. That it shouldn't be that way. It should be this is consistent, and they know what they need to be doing and how they're going to do it. With that said, there are bigger issues than Walmart. The issues at hand right here that we have here in Portland and nationwide is our public and our police and our safety. I was recently abused very badly by the police. I did speak out on December 3rd saying that bad cops are bad, but they give the good cops a bad name. My perspective has changed immensely. My voice is gone still since December 8th. I'm saying bad cops are bad, but the good cops are just as bad because they don't do anything about it. And I need something to be done. Justice needs to be served. I am a disabled woman, grandmother of color, brutally assaulted while I'm handcuffed. And it's very sad. Day after, I went up and went into that in TPI where they had the behavioral health unit. I find it very concerning that y'all are making a new system when the old system is obviously failing. There's too many holes. There's no accountability. I looked up, there's no data, and the data that is there is justified. Where's the law on that? Where's the accountability in that for the crimes being committed against humans by the police department and by you all by just going along with it and saying, okay, well, we're just going to keep doing, and then starting a new system? How is that going to gain the public and the humans' trust? I don't trust them. I don't know how anybody else is going to trust them. If the old system's failing, why start a new one? There was too many holes in that as well. They said they had started, this is the behavioral health unit, they said they begun in 2013. They had very beautiful made PowerPoints, but they had zero tracking, zero data. That's very concerning.
Thank you. Thanks very
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Jamie Trinkle. I'm with Enlace. I want to thank Commissioner Novick for your leadership in promoting this socially responsible investment policy, which is very much needed by the city so that we can invest and use our tax dollars and our revenue in ways that's in accordance with the city's commitment to equity. Enlace submitted language along with Vos to make sure that the resolution actually reflected on the city's commitment to equity. We wanted it to be named that the city does have concerns about practices and institutions that disproportionately and detrimentally impact people of color. As we're all aware, there are a number of corporations that have made a business out of profiting off of detrimental and disproportionate impacts on people of color. Banks that have engaged in racially predatory lending come to mind, as well as investors in private prisons, as well as some of the fossil fuel companies that were mentioned earlier. We think that we commend and applaud the city council and moving forward with a socially responsible investment policy. We just want to make sure that it actually reflects the needs of our community and that we use this historic moment to be as bold as possible and lead the country in instituting a socially responsible investment policy that centralizes the needs of the most disproportionately impacted folks in our community and centralizes them in the decision-making process as well as actually naming them as important players in the social responsible investment policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Rosa Navarro, and I am a native Oregonian, Portland resident, and taxpayer in the city. And I'm also here in support of the language that both and Enlace have submitted on disinvesting from companies that impact and disproportionately impact communities of color, and particularly looking at private prisons and how that actually disproportionately does affect people of color, mostly immigrants. And, you know, as people have said before me, you know, this country is in a moment right now. It is burning. And whether we want to look at that and take a stance of what our values are as a city, then this is an important moment to really actually act. I think that looking at, you know, Portland's history and our values as Portlanders, you know, Mayor Hayes, you have publicly stated that you supported, you know, an ongoing sanctuary case for Francisco Aguirre, who was actually fighting deportation, the very system of investing into the actual detention of our members of our community to make profit out of. Had that campaign that you and many other commissioners here supported not been successful, he would be in a private detention facility with people actually making money off his detention. And I think it is important to know that the way that we stand and our stances actually reflect that. So if we are publicly stating as a city, as commissioners, as the mayor, that we want our people in our community to stay within our communities and to stop separating our families and separating the folks that need to be part of this community, we also need to use that to reflect the way that we invest as a city to make sure that those people don't end up in that tract, don't end up in those private detention facilities that actually profit off our people and our community. So I just ask that as, you know, a taxpayer in this city that, you know, we don't just, how do I phrase it, that we actually act with those values. When we say something, we mean it, and we actually collectively act to make sure that that doesn't continue to happen. And I do believe that the city and that you guys actually have that power to make those changes. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
May I continue on that?
I'm sorry?
May I continue on what she
No, we need each give the same amount of time. So okay. That's enough for today. Thank you. Are there others that are signed up?
No one else signed
anyone
up.
Anyone else want
but
to
there
speak
was,
on this item?
Yeah. Like, we have somebody else
yes,
coming.
Come on yeah. up, please. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, I signed up for the wrong list. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I just want to thank you for...
Put your name in the record, sorry, John.
Romeo Sosa, I'm the Executive Director of VOS, Worker Rights Education Project. First of all, I support this resolution, and also I just want to mention something like the people they didn't mention. I work every day with day laborers, like people who look for work on the streets, and also we serve the large community. It's not only day laborers, people from all over the other counties. I want to mention that every single day, people been arrested and been sent into Tacoma Detention Center. Three day laborers, they are in Tacoma right now. Yesterday, we just met with one of the family of them. The suffering of these people, it's so painful for me, and I think the city should understand that pain, that how much is the separation of family is. And for me, the city should say no more 1 cent to the detention Tacoma in Seattle. I think those corporations, they're making money for the suffering of our people, people who are living in Portland, people who are working in Portland, people who are putting a lot of money in the economy of Portland. So we should stop sending that. The city should not send more money there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Any other council, any other council questions or discussion before we vote on the first
yeah,
resolution?
Yeah, I guess I have a question of Commissioner Novick. So on resolution 1300, which extends the Walmart disinvestment for another year, you are okay with the committee itself reviewing Walmart once the committee is up and established? And if they come forward with a recommendation to take it off the do not buy list, is that something you're prepared to live with?
That's the major purpose of establishing a committee, is to look at each company on our list and look at the companies that are already on a do not buy list and see if there's reason to take it off.
Okay, other questions?
Yeah, I'm interested, Commissioner Novick, in your response to the two major issues that I heard. The first was putting fossil fuels on the list right now.
Well, we took an approach of adopting a list of criteria that could apply to any company in any industry, rather than listing particular industries that would where all the companies would be on the do not buy list. Part of the reason for doing that actually is the concern about the limited number of companies we're allowed to invest in at all. And frankly, if we went through and a list of particular industries we have concerns about, there is some concern that many of those companies would fall into some industry we have some general concern about. So that is part of the reason, although only part of the reason, that we chose to look at criteria rather than industries.
And why did Exxon not get on the list along with Walmart?
Because although Exxon clearly has a detrimental impact on the environment, there has not been such a thoroughly public discussion of where Exxon stands on their other criteria. Misuse of market power, impact on health, abuse of labor practices. So that's one of the things that you'd want the committee to look at with the aid of the publication services is for example, Amazon, I think, from what I've seen, has exercised in misuse of market power. I don't know where Amazon stands in terms of impacting the environment to human health.
Well, that brings into question whether rampant failure on just one criteria could be enough to get a company on a do not buy list. I would suggest that there's actually two major concerns. There's the environmental concerns and there's the health concerns on fossil fuels. So whether they are wonderful corporate citizens in other manners, which I don't know anything about, it seems like those two concerns are in conflict with our stated values of the council. And as the mayor had talked about with our climate action plan. It seems like that's a principle that should override whether they otherwise treat their workers fairly or not.
I will not argue that point. I think that, I mean, there could be a reasonable case for putting fossil fuel companies on the do not buy list on the basis that you just stated. However, when we decided to establish a list consisting of one company before we had the committee go through this process and then establish this permanent committee, the reason we felt comfortable putting Walmart on the list is that there is such extensive documentation of their misbehavior in terms of labor practices, general corporate ethics, and market behavior.
Now, do you have any?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. I'm prepared to support the resolution, but I'm assuming this process is going to continue to evolve. And that is, one, if our committee says there's a level of violation of one of these principles that is in itself egregious, then I would think that'd be sufficient for us to say that's not a company we want to invest in. Also, based on the council testimony that we've heard, there's some other criteria that I'd like us to consider over time. Because I heard one, and the way I would describe it is maybe, you know, a pattern of contributing to human rights violations. I'm not ready to put that language into the resolution, but I'm interested in weighing that issue. Another would be this issue of disproportionate impact on low-income people or communities of color. Those are both, to me, legitimate criteria that might be measurable enough in corporate behavior that we could make a decision that company rates or doesn't rate. But I'd like our process to continue so that we can consider those kind of factors.
So you're comfortable in waiting on the fossil fuel despite?
I am for now, though again, I think we've been pretty clear that we take all these criteria seriously, and there's still judgment calls, and that they're going to be making recommendations to both the treasurer and to us.
Right. So although the resolution does say that the principles can be amended by further resolution, I am persuaded that we should add to them right now to add disproportionate impacts on communities of color and low-wage workers. Can you tell me why we're not proposing that?
Well, I think that, I mean, what I would ask is disproportionate impact, I think is rather vague. What kind of disproportionate impact? I mean, I actually think that abusive labor practices, practices that damage the environment and human health are likely to have a disproportionate impact on communities of color because, I mean, it's been, people in communities of color are often in jobs where they're more susceptible to abusive labor practices. They often live in places where environmental degradation impacts them greater than others. The same for human health. So I have no problem with thinking about a way to express that sentiment. The phrase practices institutions that disproportionately and detrimentally impact, I would want some sort of clarification about what kind of impacts we're talking about.
So I would submit that the example given of the prison, the private prison that ICE takes folks to, doesn't necessarily fit into any of these categories.
I mean, that would be an example of switching our emphasis from talking about kinds of practices to particular industries. So, I mean, I think that, I mean, as the mayor suggested, concerns about adverse impacts on civil liberties, individual liberties, that would be an amendment that's sort of consistent with the way we've outlined our principles in the charge of this committee. So I think that would be, that's easier to fit into this construct.
So you'd be willing, can we add that now?
I'd have no problem with that.
What's the language?
Let's see, it would add... whereas companies engage in practices that damage the environment and health, engage in abusive labor practices, violate ethical and governance standards, engage in extreme tax avoidance strategies. Have significant adverse impacts on individual liberties. I mean, that might be one way of adding it. And I would actually ask Katie to tell me where the language repeats itself in the resolutions, we might want to make sure it's added in those places.
Well, it's in both of the resolutions, I believe, and there's a list of the principles.
Right, I think it's wherever the principles show up.
We would add up to the principles concerns about human rights violations or impacts.
Either way, I think staying in either way, either impact on individual liberties or an impact or having contributing to human rights violations are the flip side of the same statement. I'm comfortable with either version of the language, but I think if we're going to, I would like to add that as a principle now or later. Now is fine if that's okay with you, Commissioner Novick.
Absolutely.
Katie?
I think either could work. We should decide, though.
Frankly, as I listened to the discussion, I think framing it around human rights is a broader category that encompasses the other component. So I think, and we also have a Human Rights Commission. We also have some guiding laws.
No, that's
so
true.
I think I would argue the human rights frame is broader.
Okay.
So how about just concerns about impacts on human rights?
Yeah, fine with me.
I think that then gets us to the testimony, which I found very compelling, about disparate impacts on communities of color, low-income communities. In making it broader, it allows a greater consideration. So I really appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Good. All right, so I'll take that as amendment.
Should we vote on it?
Yes, we should. So that's an amendment to the list of criteria, adding concerns about human rights as one of those criteria.
Impacts.
So I'll take that as a motion from Commissioner Fritz and a second from Commissioner Novick.
Second.
Differently. Okay.
Is this prejudging that the company that runs the ICE facility in Tacoma is one we're going to disinvest from?
It's putting this value in the principles.
Yeah. So it's making no judgment whatsoever on who runs the detention facility in Tacoma.
Correct.
And whether they're violating human rights.
Correct.
Well, I don't believe we are currently invested in any such company, but what this says is that's a factor that we as a council would want taken into consideration by our committee when they make a recommendation to us.
Okay. And so it's making no judgment on the corporations that were mentioned in the testimony.
Not yet. Okay. That work? And let's take a roll call on the amendment.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Okay, so done. Anything else that we want to do for now? Again, I'm assuming this has been a good discussion, good testimony, good discussion. I'm assuming that what may happen over time is that the committee may come to us and say, you know, you really ought to have a criterion about, and we are obviously by resolution able to amend that list. When that happens,
I think the committee's charge is officially to apply the criteria we've already outlined, but I'm sure that we will appoint enterprising people who might very well take it upon themselves to suggest additional criteria.
Okay. And this today's discussion was a good example. Here's something coming out of the community. It could come to the committee. It could come to us. In either case, we ought to be able to say, that's right. This is an issue we ought to highlight in this analysis. So. Good. Thank you. Okay, let's take a roll call on the first of the resolutions then.
On 1300, Novick?
Did we already vote on the amendment?
Yes.
We did. I'm sorry. I'd like to thank Katie Shriver, my staff, for her tireless work on this issue for low these many months. I'd like to thank Kelly Ball from OMF for her work and Jennifer Cooperman and Ashley Henry and all the members of our interim committee. And to thank organizations including VOS and Enlace and Jobs with Justice for their participation in this discussion. And I really, really appreciate the community attention to this issue. And again, the impact that one city's investment practices might make on corporate America or the corporations of the world might be small. But if other cities and counties and states follow our lead, I think that our impact could be large. So I really, really appreciate my council colleagues' engagement on this issue. And I'm delighted to see that rather than listening to the concerns of some people that we're going way off to the left, my colleagues actually decided to not only to adopt the existing criteria, but enlarge them. That's very heartening to me as a member of this council. Aye.
Fritz. Not often you're to the right, Commissioner Novick, but you are every time we sit here, at least to my right. Thank you very much for your leadership on this project and to your entire team. I'm very happy to support this, and thanks to my Chief of Staff, Tom Bizzo, for all of his work on it. Aye.
Fish?
Thanks, Steve, for your leadership on this issue. And to those who argue that in a democracy, we should not apply a socially responsible screen to our public investments, I say nonsense. This is a work in progress, and I think we've built in enough flexibility that we'll be getting some feedback from the committee and a chance to fine-tune this over time, but I think it's a worthy experiment, and it has my support. Aye.
Saltzman.
Are we voting on 1300?
1300.
Yes, the Walmart one. Okay.
And then we're going to vote on the other one.
Yeah.
Then we're going to vote on the other.
So, yeah, I will agree to extend the disinvestment of Walmart for one more calendar year with the understanding that Walmart will be evaluated by this new committee we're going to create under Resolution 1301, you know, sort of on the same level playing field that all the 40 or 45 companies that we're eligible to invest in gets evaluated. Because certainly it sounds like there is a mixed record of Walmart, and they should be evaluated, reevaluated in light of that. Aye.
Hales.
You know, we try in this room in big ways and small ways to try to align what we do as a city government, with our community's values. And that involves both what we do and how we do it, and then how we spend money, or in this case, how we invest it. It's an imperfect process, and it has to be done with leadership from here, but also real citizen engagement. We also need to have checks and balances on us as politicians, because we have our preferences and our own philosophies, and so that's why having this committee is a good idea. Steve, I really appreciate your leadership on this and your passion for it, and that's exactly what we should have in this room. So I'm very happy about the progress that we've made. I think, as this discussion indicates, there's still some ideas in the community that deserve to be considered in how we make these decisions, and what this committee will allow us to do is do that in a thoughtful way. I think sometimes Portland gets a reputation for having a lot of process. But we also have a reputation for being a national leader. Maybe those two aren't inconsistent. Maybe it's possible to be thoughtful, deliberate, and bold all at the same time. And this is another opportunity to do that. Thank you, Steve. Aye. Okay, and 01.
Novick.
Mayor Press, that'd be a new motto for the city, Portland. Thoughtful, deliberate, and bold. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thanks to our community partners, particularly Vos and Gasse and SEIU for Local 49 and others for coming in to testify. I would be ready to add fossil fuel, thanks to 350 PDX for continuing to raise this issue. I hope that the committee will be charged with looking at the principles and adding to them if necessary. I do think that they're now, with the amendment that we made, broad enough the scope that we can get the issues that people in Portland are concerned about addressed through this process. Thank you again, Commissioner. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, as I said at the outset, I am concerned that this is going to lead to some very public and perhaps embarrassing decisions about local-based companies that employ Oregonians, and that, to me, that's a big thing. You know, we've weathered a recession. We've come through 9-10% unemployment. We're down to 7. Great. Celebrate. We need to be down to about 4%. So to the extent that this is going to result in debates at this council chamber about investments in Oregon-based companies that are creating jobs and sponsoring city activities, contributing tax dollars, I'm concerned about that, and I want to voice that concern right now. I think that's going to be a recipe for disaster, a train wreck. But I do agree with the overriding principle here that we need to be socially responsible. But I am concerned that this committee is going to be pretty narrow-minded, and it's going to really be up to the 7 people that get appointed to this committee. And I think, as Joe Wall said, they've got to reflect the breadth of the city council, not simply, you know, 1 or 2 commissioners. And I would hope that my appointees will bring some balance to what I think is going to be a committee that is going to be looking for things to do after they've exhausted their 40 to 45 companies we're eligible to invest in. What are they going to do? They're going to have to find something to recommend disinvestment. So that, you know, I have those concerns, and I'm concerned about how this may play out at a very public level and adversely impact Portlanders and the jobs that Portlanders value. But nevertheless, my colleague, Commissioner Novick, has worked hard on this. I'm going to support this, give it the benefit of the doubt, but I do it with some reservations. Aye.
Hales.
We haven't talked a lot about the flip side of this, but I understand your concern, Commissioner Saltzman. It's a legitimate one. But I guess the flip side of this to me is that having spent quite a bit of time in the last few weeks meeting with the burgeoning movement of B corporations here in Portland, so-called benefit corporations that actually try to be socially responsible in a variety of ways, it seems to me there are a lot of great investment options for the city of Portland in great companies that do reflect our values. And so I don't think it's going to be that difficult for this committee and our treasurer to have a list of companies that we're happy and proud to be investing in, even while there are a few that we want to avoid. So I don't mean that just as happy talk. I just think given the kind of progressive companies that we have here, large and small, and some of which will be eligible for investment because they meet the criteria that are very narrow, I think we can get there. So I'm optimistic that there's plenty of opportunity to do the right thing and still invest wisely. Aye.
Mayor, can we take a sec just to do some agenda management?
We do, and we also need to take a motion from Commissioner Fritz, I believe, to hold a night council meeting in January on our hearing because on JTTF because you wanted us to do that. We have to do it by council action.
We do, Mayor. However, I don't think the schedulers have met yet to decide when we could do that. So my
I think Rachel tells us we can authorize the night meeting without naming the date.
Actually, I wrote the ordinance, and I don't think we can.
Okay, then we'll wait.
So I believe we can do that tomorrow afternoon because okay. We do have a session. But the public should know that the Joint Terrorism Task Force meeting is going to be an evening meeting, and we'll figure out when it would be.
All right.
And announce that tomorrow.
Commissioner,
Mayor, is it because I have the dubious distinction of always having my stuff come last in our agenda, and I'm increasingly concerned that people come out to testify and don't get a chance because we go through the lunch hour. Is it your intention to see if we can get everything done by 1, or in light of the fact that the time certain at 2 this afternoon is going to be a very short matter,
right?
Are you planning to put some things on the 2 o'clock slot?
I think that we can deal with the remaining regular council calendar items fairly swiftly and be done well before 1 o'clock. Because many of them are second readings. Several of them are second readings.
All right. So our my team, BES and Water, will be prepared to meet that schedule.
Okay. So if that's okay with everybody, we'll power forward for what I think will only be about another 30 minutes and then take a break.